Will you pray with me? Spirit of God, move within me, inspire my words. God, move within us. Help us to hear what we need to hear today. Help us to hear a word from you. And where we might struggle or have a blockage and not want to hear, may we pay attention to those places and ask why or what's going on. God, would you speak through me and would you speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Amen. Some people say it is the question of the entire gospel. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? I think Jesus asks this question while having a deep sense of self-awareness and of his own identity. If you remember at Jesus's baptism, when he was baptized in the Jordan River, a voice from the heavens came down and said out to Jesus, "You are my beloved. In you I am well pleased." That belovedness, I think Jesus was at the heart of Jesus's sense of identity. He knew he was beloved. And I think that part of his mission was to communicate that not only was he beloved, but everyone else, all of us, are beloved. That is at the core of who we are, the core of our identity. And out of this conviction of his belovedness flowed Jesus' sense of identity, his commitment to nonviolence, his commitment to compassion, to practicing forgiveness. And in this story, in Mark's gospel, Jesus has gathered his disciples around him, and he asked them first, "Who do other people say that I am?" He wants to know what the people are saying. And the disciples say, well, people say you're John the Baptist, people say you're Elijah or one of the prophets, and that would make sense. Jesus comes in their tradition, and he's acting and doing things in their tradition. So that makes sense. But then Jesus pauses, turns to his friends, and asks them a personal question. Okay, I hear what you're saying about what other people are saying about me. But what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And it is here that I think, because we know what happens, we've heard the story, but it is here that I think we should pause and ask ourselves that question. Because we know what happens, but here that question is for us. It is for us today, in this moment, in the age of Trump, in the age where we are hearing news and some of us experiencing this news of the whirling violence of our government's policies, we are feeling the effects, especially folks who are poor, are feeling the effects of the violence we have done to the earth. In the midst of all of this, in the midst of our hectic lives, in the midst of prepping dinner in the kitchen or changing your baby's diaper, feeding the kids before bed, whatever it is, your struggle with anxiety, in the midst of your decision making, all of the things that are going on, this question comes to us right now. Who do you say that I am? It is a personal question. So I want us to take a moment right now. In a moment of silence, I'd like you to take that in that silence to hear that question directed at you right now for a moment. Just notice what comes up and hold that for a moment. Let's listen and hear. Who do you say that I am? If a word or a phrase has come up for you, I'd like you to just hold that for a moment. We're going to come back to that, but just hold what has come up for you in that silence. We know that Peter is eager in his answer to the question, and he says, well, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ, you're the anointed one, you're the one who is going to save us from Rome. You are going to kick Rome's butt and liberate us. You're going to be the one who's going to crush the enemy and restore peace to us. And I really feel Peter here. That's what I want too. I want Jesus essentially to be an ass kicker. You know what I mean? Like, but as long as it's not kicking my ass, of course, but other people who are doing bad things, right? But I want that. I want Jesus to bring justice, often in my heart of hearts, by any means necessary, to do something about the awfulness that's happening in our world. So I'm with Peter on this most of the time. I would like Jesus to be that kind of savior. But Jesus refutes that notion of a violent savior. And what Jesus says after Peter's response is what has continued to scandalize believers for generations. That's not the kind of savior that I am. That's not the kind of liberator that I am. My path can only be nonviolent. Like us, Peter cannot grasp the nonviolence of God. The scandal that is at the heart of the Christian gospel is the nonviolence of God. Jesus, as the incarnation of God, is the incarnation of love and compassion. And so as Jesus narrates what will happen to him, we begin to see that this way of Jesus is the way of creative nonviolence, of solidarity with the oppressed, a way of compassion and forgiveness. And this will lead to his scandalizing death. I suppose Peter got the title right? He said, Jesus is the Christ. That's what we proclaim as Christians. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Christ. But what we notice from this story is that if you don't get the content correct, then the title is worthless. In other words, it's more important that you understand what Jesus was about, how he lived his life, the commitments that he made, how he was in relationship to people, who he ate with, how he touched and healed, the challenge he posed to the rich and why, the reason why he turned over the tables, why he was such a troublemaker, all of this, we have to be willing to look at his life, the pattern of his life, to help us answer the question of who he is. And I think about this a lot these days, how often I see proclamations about Jesus' title, but then we completely ignore the way of Jesus. We hear someone, or we see it on a billboard, or we hear somebody say, Jesus is Lord. But then hate is practiced in the name of Jesus. And I hear that question again. Who do you say that I am? One of the most disturbing ironies I have ever heard in this regard is how one of the earliest ships that carried enslaved Africans to this land was called Jesus. In fact, it was referred to as the Good Ship Jesus. And I hear Jesus' question ringing out in that context, almost with tears in his eyes. Who are you saying that I am? Interpreting the Bible through the lens of white supremacy is a powerful legacy in our country, and it manifests itself today in hateful interpretations like hearing government officials quote Paul and Jesus as a justification for separating families at the border or for building a border wall. Jeff Sessions is a recent example. And we can hear that question raised again, Jesus asking, who are you saying that I am? Who do you say that I am? And it's not just them, it's also us. How often do I make Jesus into a softer version of himself so that the call of discipleship doesn't quite feel so costly to me, especially when it comes to my wealth or my privilege? And I hear Jesus asking, Katie, who do you say that I am? Or what if it's a different kind of struggle? Like, what if all I've ever been taught about Jesus is that he's just a guilt infuser? He's a condemner of my sexuality and my gender identity. Or because I'm an addict, I'm never good enough. I never do enough, always a failure. And that condemnation is the only thing I feel when I think about Jesus and what I was taught about him in the church where I grew up. If this is part of your struggle, then we also might do well to pause again and hear Jesus ask you, who do you say I am? Is what others say about me really who I am? Or is that the mainstream media version? Or is that the domesticated version of myself? Who do you say that I am? I think all of us would do well to spend time with that question. And I think it's important for us to hear it as a personal question. And the reason I think we should spend time with it personally is not because I don't believe the gospel is a social gospel, as if social justice were divorced from our personal lives. Many liberal Christians, some of us might consider ourselves liberal Christians, many liberal Christians, because we have, for many good reasons, a bad taste in our mouth when someone says anything that reminds us of that phrase, personal relationship with Jesus, right? Did anybody grow up with that as the hallmark? Right, we have, and some of us, for good reason, have a bad taste in our mouth with that. There's good reason for that. And we could talk more about that, but we're not going to talk about that today. But sometimes what happens is we throw out the personal call in the name of social justice, as if these things were divorced from each other. Because I think Jesus is actually interested in our personal lives, the personal commitments we make, the decisions we make. Jesus is interested in our own sense of calling and identity, as it relates to the whole, of course, but in our relationships and in our relationship with Jesus. I remember, as many feminists have been saying, the personal is political. In other words, your personal life is not disconnected from larger social movements or issues. And I think Jesus wants to offer us the transformation of ourselves, if we're open to it. Who do you say that I am? For those of us who want to be authentic and faithful Christians, it's not just about Jesus's identity. That's not just a question about his identity. It's a question about our own identity. Who do you say that I am is at the same time, who will you say that you are? There's the rub. That's why the question is uncomfortable for us. How will you witness to Christ? Ultimately, the question Jesus asks us about himself has everything to do with us and our own walk of discipleship. If we only had to provide an answer to Jesus' question of his identity, well, then we could keep it nice out there. We could say, oh, I know the answer. I know all about Jesus and what he did. And we could keep it distantly intellectual. We could say we have the right answer. And we could congratulate Jesus on a life well lived. Sorry it ended tragically, but that is Jesus. And we could never pull ourselves in. But see, that is the thing. The gospel is written for us. And the question, as the question is posed by Jesus, and he says, who do you say that I am? It circles back as a question of, who will you say that you are? Because if this is who you think Jesus is, will you follow? What does that mean? To follow in the way of a nonviolent God. Jesus is saying, if you know this about me and my identity, will you follow this way? I don't know how you answered in the space of silence before. I'm wondering, just in a few brief moments, if anyone is willing to share a phrase or the word that came up for them in that silence in response to the question. Is anyone willing to share? Yeah, Ed.
Something's been weighing on my mind a lot in the last few months, and the thing that popped right into my mind when you said, who am I, and what's the, I'm getting tongue-tied.
It's okay.
That's usually not me. Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
The normalization of constant war is what's been weighing on me. As I try to develop a relationship with Jesus, that's today the thing that's being pulled into the forefront.
Amen. Thank you, Ed. So for those of you who didn't hear, the phrase Prince of Peace is what came up for Ed. Anyone else willing to share? Yeah, Donald.
My friend.
Chris.
The embodiment of the universal consciousness
and not fearing death. Amen. Yeah, Michelle.
He's like the giver of freedom in a lot of different ways.
Giver of freedom in a lot of different ways. Amen. Amen. Healer. Say again. Go ahead. Sorry.
The way.
Amen. Pax. Radical teacher. Thank you. May we allow Jesus to turn to us in the midst of the mundane, the everyday of our lives this week, remembering that he lived his life out of the conviction of his own belovedness and lived his life so that others might come to know their belovedness. And it is this Jesus who turns to us and asks, who do you say that I am? And who therefore are you? Amen.